It's a special day. This is a very big deal. The Supreme Court of the United States of America has made a decision. You cannot discriminate on the basis of race when it comes to applying to college, because that would be unconstitutional. I can think of somebody who might just be a little bit happy right now about all this.
I have a dream. My four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream today.
It's done more to unravel basic rights and basic decisions than any court in recent history.
Yeah. So Martin Luther King had a dream. Martin Luther King Jr. wanted to live in a world where we didn't see color, that you couldn't discriminate on the basis of race. And the Democrats today are furious. This court is making all kinds of crazy decisions. And they are furious because, well, Justice Roberts said that the way to stop discrimination on the basis of race is to stop discriminating on the basis of race. You know, it's not that hard. It's not that hard, and you got to start somewhere. Wow, this is really going to turn into a mega story. We're going to peel it back, get into all the layers. You got to hear more about what President Biden said, more about what the Secretary of Education is saying. But first, welcome to the show. We are live right now. I love seeing so many familiar faces here on YouTube and on Facebook. Kathy, welcome. Greg, Moose, Steven, great to see all of you here. As we get this just incredible news in, this is, mark my words, this is a step forward for the nation. Because you cannot constitutionally discriminate on the basis of race. So why on earth would colleges across the country, including none other than Harvard University at the center of this, as well as UNC, why would they be doing so? Why would you be able to get in just because of the color of your skin and not be able to get in because of the color of your skin? Welcome to the program, everyone. I am Trish Regan. Portions of the show are brought to you, as always, by our wonderful friends over at Legacy Precious Metals, LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's the website you need to go to if you want to invest in gold or silver, or call them. They are very helpful. I've spoken to them myself, 1-866-589-0560, 1-866-589-0560, and they can walk you through possibly investing in gold or silver. But this indeed is a very big day. Imagine that. You can't discriminate on the basis of race. Imagine that this was tolerated and that this was allowed for so long that you went in one bucket. If you were the kid who had the 4.0 and the 1600 on the SAT, but happened to be Asian or happened to be white, and you went in another bucket, if you didn't have those grades and you didn't have those test scores, but you had something else going on, which was that they liked the color of your skin, because the thinking is in these elite institutions, I'll share the thoughts with you directly here, is that they could not possibly achieve the diversity that they wanted to have and start to reverse discrimination unless they had an opportunity to actually allow people in and look the other way. They needed to be able to treat skin color as a plus. Again, you understand how insane this is, because in the words of Martin Luther King Jr., we ought to dream of a society that is not looking at skin color, but instead judging people and students on the merits. I mean, it seems like a simple thing to do. And you know what? Legally, it's required. And yet you had these schools choosing to do exactly the reverse. Let me share with you some more from the justice, Justice Roberts, because it's really just tremendous to see. And I'll also share with you the dissent that you had from Sotomayor and some others. Eliminating racial discrimination means eliminating all of it, he writes. Along with Alito, you have Gorsuch, Kavanaugh, Amy Coney Barrett, you've got Clarence Thomas, of course, as well. He writes, the student must be treated based on his or her individual experiences as an individual, not on the basis of race. Many universities have for too long done just the opposite. Now, of course, the dissent says, no, look, you know, society, quote, is not and has never been colorblind. This is according to Justice Sonia Sotomayor. She was joined by Justices Elena Kagan, Ketanji Brown Jackson, who actually recused herself, by the way, from dealing with some portions of the case that it related to Harvard University because she used to be on the board of overseers there. The court ignores the dangerous consequences of an America, they write, where its leadership does not reflect the diversity of the people. So think about what they're saying here. They are somehow assuming that the African-American student or the Latino student cannot get into Harvard University or these elite schools. And so they need to be given this sort of push from the system. I mean, to me, that seems sort of inherently racist in and of itself. If you're like, okay, well, you know what? We're not going to be able to get this kid in on his or her own because, you know, that's just the way it is. In fact, the Secretary of Education for the Biden administration went on MSNBC earlier today and pointed out that ever since California said, this is illegal, you can't do that in the UC system, where, by the way, taxpayer dollars are going to the tuition there, that Black and Latino enrollment had gone down by 50% and it had not recovered. So I say, what about the schools themselves at the public school level? Like, what is happening in society in places like Chicago or Watts in California, or the inner city of Harlem? By the way, you don't even need to go to the inner city. I told you I was in New York City earlier this week at 69th and Lexington, nice avenue, nice restaurant. Three homeless people right there on the street corner, including one that was throwing up right outside the restaurant. And I was told by the hostess, you know what we called? And we've been calling the police all day. We can't get rid of them. Nobody's coming. The police weren't even coming to help. I mean, look, the onus is on us as a society to do a better job educating students from the get-go, from those early years. But the answer is not to say, okay, here's your ticket to Harvard because of the color of your skin. I mean, it's just, by the way, think about this for a second. Think about the poor kid in West Virginia living in a trailer park, doesn't have two parents at home. Maybe, you know, somebody's got a drug addiction. I'm painting the picture of a very poor child with every disadvantage that one could have that just happens to be white. So the African-American student that is wealthy, growing up in some fancy schmancy town, Greenwich, Connecticut, you know, or what's that, Alpine, New Jersey, like one of the most expensive places, that child would have a better chance, even if that child had worse grades and worse test scores than the kid in the trailer park in West Virginia, because the rich one has the right color skin. That's the America they think we ought to live in? Are you kidding me? Listen, and they're, by the way, they're all about changing the system now. Just wait. They're going to be talking about packing the court. They want to have a new standard. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Now, here's Joe Biden earlier today saying, yeah, we got to have a new standard. He totally wrecks the court, by the way, just tramples all over it. I'll show you that little clip because he went on his favorite network, MSNBC, to do all that. But here he is saying we need a new standard. I do not totally disagree with what he's saying in that life experience matters. That was my point about the trailer park. We shouldn't be looking just its skin color, for goodness sakes. But now they're being very clever about this because they got to find a new way, since colleges can't just actually put you in a different bucket based on the color of your skin. Watch.
What I propose for consideration is a new standard where colleges take into account the adversity a student has overcome when selecting among qualified applicants. Let's be clear. Under this new standard, just as was true under the earlier standard, students first have to be qualified applicants. They need the GPA and test scores to meet the school's standards. Once that test is met, then adversity should be considered, including a student's lack of financial means, because we know too few students of low-income families, whether in big cities or rural communities, are getting an opportunity to go to college. When a poor kid, maybe the first in their family to go to college, gets the same grades and test scores as a wealthy kid whose whole family's gone to the most elite colleges in the country and whose path has been a lot easier. Well, the kid who faced tougher challenges has demonstrated more grit, more determination, and that should be a factor that colleges should take into account in admissions.
That comes to us courtesy in the New York Post, who put that out. You know, look, Joe Biden is mad. He's mad. This is not what he wanted. But, you know, when I say I don't totally disagree with what he's saying, okay, let's look at the diversity of background, right? The life challenges that this child has had to overcome to get where they are. Okay, fine. Like, by the way, I've never had a problem with that. That was my point. Why would the rich African-American black kid get a better chance than the poor white kid? Or think about all the incredibly talented Asian students that we have in this country. Why should they not have a chance to get ahead? That's really what this came down to, this whole case with Harvard and UNC, because they were actively discriminating against people and actively putting people that they wanted to put for trying to fix historical wrongs into a different category. And that's just not fair. Look, we're a meritocracy, aren't we? Or we ought to be. And this is why we have the Constitution we have. This is, and I guarantee you now, you're going to see a lot of calls for changes at the Supreme Court. We've already heard Chuck Schumer talking about stacking the court. This is going to come up over and over again now. Already, the president swung by MSNBC. Like I said, his favorite network. They certainly do him enough favors to get out his message that the court is just awful. Right? Watch.
This is very exciting for us.
Exciting for me.
You said today, and I know that you have a lot of power, but I can't imagine you manufactured the breaking news about the court. You said this court is not normal. What did you mean?
What I meant with that is it's done more to unravel basic rights and basic decisions than any court in recent history. And that's what I meant by not normal. It's gone out of its way to, I mean, for example, take a look at overruling Roe v. Wade. Take a look at what the decision today. Take a look at how it's ruled on a number of issues that have been precedent for 50, 60 years sometimes. And that's what I meant by not normal.
Can I read you something?
So that's the answer. We don't have a normal Supreme Court because, well, we don't like the majority on the Supreme Court. Oh, my gosh, there are all those Trump appointees. We have conservatives on the Supreme Court. Listen. We had a great guest on the show just the other day from Wall Builders. He's got the largest collection, private collection of historical documents of anyone in society in America. I mean, you got to go to the Smithsonian to see anything that rivals this. And he was wonderful. He was talking about the Constitution itself and our inalienable rights and why those are so important, because they come from God as opposed to the government. I mean, we all have these basic rights, and part of that right is the chance to succeed and work hard and be ambitious and be rewarded for that ambition and for that hard work. And we ought to be getting towards a point in this country where we are living up to the standards that this man so aspired for all of us to have.
I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream today.
And you know what? That dream's starting to be realized. Except there's a whole political class out there that doesn't want a lot of people to get ahead and wants to continue to divide us. They want to divide us because, you see, it's expedient. It's expedient. If they can have all the control and they can dole out a little here and there to people who fit into their little box that they want and are good little minions, well, then they got a system that works for them now, don't they? I mean, that's part of the whole Marxist leftist philosophy. And it's important we realize where this is coming from. If you're getting your rights from the government, then whoever's in charge has the ability to pull them away or change them. But there's certain things that we ought to be able to have, and that is equality. So if you want to ensure that you're not discriminating, then don't discriminate. Just say, okay, you know what? We care about test scores. We care about grades. And yes, we care about life experiences. But it shouldn't be checking off the box, which is what they require you to do, to tell everyone what color skin you have. I mean, that is just unbelievable. And not the country. We are not the country we should ever aspire to be. But you see, it's all about votes. It's all about money. You think about Black Lives Matter. I mean, where they're talking about the destruction of the nuclear family. That was on the original website that they had. They're really struggling right now, Black Lives Matter. I think I told you guys about this the other day, looking at potential bankruptcy. Because, you know, when you don't have enough protests going on and enough looting going on and getting everybody all excited about it, I guess, you start to lose some of your big sponsors. I have no idea. But they do not have the money coming in that they used to have. And so consequently, they are looking at some real financial troubles. Of course, I would just say that when you're out buying multi-million-dollar homes and you're taking fancy conferences where, you know, everybody's getting spa days, and then on top of it, you're paying your siblings oodles of money for consulting fees, then Black Lives Matter really did, Patricia Cullors was her name that was running, really did kind of embody all that we don't want from the left. The Marxist movement that gets to pick the winners and losers and hoards everything for themselves. That is not a fair society. It's not the one that we would ever want. Hey, great to have you all guys here. I'm looking at so many of your comments here, both on Facebook Live and on YouTube Live. Joe, thank you so much. Yes, you know, I will always keep the faith. I never, never lose my faith in America. Because this is the greatest country on earth. And, you know, we're coming up on the 4th of July. Very, very exciting holiday. I'll have to roll out my my God Bless America and my national anthem again for you all. It's just an amazing country. And I'm not saying life is fair. And I'm not saying that that we're completely void of racism. I mean, there's certainly serious challenges, of course, for everybody in different ways. And I'm not going to ignore it. What you know, happens, there's still pockets of that in this country, and it's unacceptable. But how are you helping the situation at all by saying the answer is to give somebody a ticket to Harvard because of their skin color, rather than looking at who they are as a person, what they've been through? Checking off a box, it's not right. And by the way, I'm not saying that everybody who gets into Harvard and fits the, you know, the minority standard that they want is not worthy of being there, by the way. I mean, that's important. Because when you talk to a lot of Black students at these Ivy Leagues, they don't appreciate that. They're like, you know, everybody thinks I got here because of this, you know, affirmative action stuff. How's that fair to them? That's actually setting them up for a more challenging time as well. I mean, it's really horrendous that we even had to be in this place. Because if you're going to try and go to the best school, I would think that the best school would just want actually to have the best students. And as a society, we ought to do a heck of a better job educating those students. But guess what? You know, we had our schools shut down in some cases for well over a year into 2 years. You had teachers unions that didn't want to go back to work in none other than so many Democrat-run cities. You look at the numbers, the private schools, Catholic schools, for example, those kids are doing fine. But you look at the rest of the numbers across the board, they just came out with these the other day. 13-year-old students, they have declined every year for the last 3 years. We're now at the bottom of where we start. Like, they started doing these tests back in the early 70s. We're back to like the very beginning. We have never seen results this low in math and in reading. And guess what? The kids that are the worst off, they're coming from these inner cities. So it seems to me we ought to be addressing that. And it is a problem. It's a problem for society. And there's a lot of socioeconomic things associated with that. But hey, you go to any city right now and you look at the crime levels that have been escalating severely. And nobody's doing what they need to do about it. Chicago, great example. I mean, my gosh, you'd be better off in Medellin or Bogota, Colombia, right? You can go anywhere in the world. Just Chicago is dangerous. I loved it. Well, remember the NAACP came out with the travel warning as though they were the State Department. Don't go to Florida. It's dangerous because of their MAGA movement policies. I mean, they're already trying to hit at Ron DeSantis, of course, while simultaneously going after Trump. And I'm like, I'm sorry, like, don't go to Florida? Like, who wants to go to Chicago? Thank you very much. We got to do a lot to make sure that all these communities all over the country are safe. And yet we're seeing exactly the opposite. You've got company after company pulling out of San Francisco. Whole Foods shut down a store there. Why? Because they couldn't keep their employees safe. You got Walmart pulling out. You got hotels just like walking away from, and they have debt and they have loans and they have money that they owe. And they're like, sorry, out of here. That is not a good recipe for success, for the future. You've got to start with the basics. You've got to start with safety. You got to start with families. You got to be encouraging those families because it's hard, right? It's hard to have a family and raise kids. You got to be encouraging academics. These are the ways to help bring society to a more equal place with equal opportunities. But you can't legislate it. You can't just say, okay, we're going to take this many kids because we got to make up for the sins of the past. I think people realize this instinctively. I'm sure most of you do if you're watching right now. And I think it's going to be a real problem for Joe Biden. I mean, maybe he'll muster up some support with this, right? He's got the Supreme Court on Roe v. Wade. He's got the Supreme Court on, oh, you know, you can't just get an automatic ticket to admission to school or get bumped into a different category because of your skin color. There was that issue. Do you remember when they were giving out government relief funding to farmers after the shutdown? And they were prioritizing people who were minorities. Blacks or Hispanics were going to the top of the pile. And actually, one of the former policy advisors for the Trump administration, Stephen Miller, he took that on. Because, again, how is that legal? You're therefore discriminating, literally discriminating against the white farmer because you want the black farmer to get the money? I mean, come on. It's all just nuts. Anyway, I want to share with you new poll numbers. Joe Biden's getting nervous. Take a look. This just came out from The Economist, and this shows Donald Trump is ahead by 4 points compared to Joe Biden. Do you see this again? This is coming from The Economist. This must just kill them to have to publish. It's a YouGov Economist poll, and it shows that if the country were to vote today, Donald Trump would be ahead by 4 points. 44% to Biden's 40%. Among independents, look who's leading. Very, very interesting to see. And I have no doubt people are starting to get really nervous. Hey, if you have not subscribed to this channel, please do me this favor right now. Subscribe. Make sure you hit the bell. That's critical. And while we're at, I'm going to put in my website here. I'll put it in again in the show notes, but I'd love to have your email so we can communicate directly. I promise I won't spam you. TrishReganShow.com. Go there when you can. Just make sure that you sign up for my email. I say all this because I'm anticipating what is going to happen, ladies and gentlemen, as we get closer to this election. Because those are numbers that a lot of people in charge don't like and don't want to see. Make sure you follow me on Twitter too. I think Twitter will be okay, but this is important right now. It's really critical. I'd love to have you sign up on the email and make sure that you have subscribed to this channel and that you hit the bell. Again, hit that bell. So independents, Trump is leading 38% to 28%. He's up 10 points there. He's up 4 on Biden overall. And this has a net 7-point swing towards Trump from May 31st. It used to be +3 for Biden. So things are changing. And why are they changing, you wonder? Well, it might have just a little something to do with scenes like this. Oh, just maybe. Right. I mean, that's actually becoming increasingly a political issue. And it's not sitting right with everyday Americans. If you are listening to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, what I just played, because you might not have been able to quite make it out, was a scene from Tompkins Square last weekend in New York City, where there were many activists in the LGBTQ movement that were chanting, "We're here, we're queer, we're coming for your children." We saw that this is what decided the race in Virginia in midterms for Youngkin, Glenn Youngkin, and I would not be surprised if it begins to really gain some steam and wins over those independents. I mean, you want to know why Trump is up 10 points with independents? It seems like that. Now, they said they were joking. Oh, everybody took it out of context. I'm like, okay, you can tell us that. But at the same time, we're looking at these library drag queen hours, and we're, you know, having to call people they all the time in school. And we are seeing some, in some cases, some very highly sexualized material being on display in school libraries. Parents are kind of like, whoa, you know, like, we're all for empathy. We're all for inclusion. We're all for being a good person, good American, overall good individual, but this is taking it a little too far. And then you consider what happened with Bud Light, you consider what happened with Target. I'm telling you, this is going to hurt the Democrats, as it should. So I'm not one bit surprised. I'm not one bit surprised by that poll. Are you guys? I mean, if you're going to hold the election today, we'll see whether or not Joe Biden's ultimately going to be able to run. Because you see, a poll like that, a poll that has Joe Biden losing to Trump, well, that's actually something that's going to really start to scare a lot of people, a lot of people in the establishment. It's one of the reasons why you're seeing more and more from Gavin Newsom, who is kind of the slick newcomer, but he's been there forever in politics his entire career. He's been waiting for this moment. Of course, California is a total disaster. California is one of the biggest problems. And by the way, you know, hey, in California, we're just talking about California state universities, where the Secretary of Education is saying, hey, you know, you've got a reduction in the Black and Latino enrollment of 50%. It's never recovered there in California. So he might have to answer some of those questions, which would put him kind of in a difficult position, I guess. But we are coming on some crazy times. A quick just shout out. If you have not seen my store, you should go check it out. I'm just gulping water all the time here on the set because this is the difference in the live show. And I'm going to get out to all your comments and all your really interesting observations and any questions you have for me. You're welcome to throw them there in the live comments and reactions. But as I take a moment to take a sip of water, I want to remind you it is a live show. And because it's a live show and we're not going to commercial, this is my opportunity to, this is what I used to do actually on set. Although I used to drink a lot of Diet Coke. In this case, it's just water. Anyway, from my none other than my Live Free or Die cup, I'm actually going to be heading back to New Hampshire soon for the holiday. And this is the expression that you see on every state license plate. And you see it when you cross over the border from Massachusetts or from Maine. Live Free or Die. It actually came from General John Stark during the Revolutionary War era. And I think it's kind of a good way to think about how we live our lives, right? Like freedom really, really, really is important and it's easily lost. And so days like today are important days where we actually see the triumph of what is good. We cannot discriminate as a society. We cannot. And it was so important that the Supreme Court called out these schools that were doing exactly that. Look, we can be all for having a diverse, rich student body, right? Like, and I mean that in that you want the kids from all kinds of places, from the inner city, from all over the, you know, you want that. But you don't want them just because of their skin color. I mean, do you think it's at all fair to be judging on that? It's not. And it's not who we are. You know, the left hates it because, well, the left just wants to always demonize anybody who's on the right. They want full control. Meanwhile, there was a state lawmaker. Listen to this woman. Unbelievable. We had to clean out her language here before I could play it for you. But she was on the state Senate floor in Milwaukee. Was that... I mean, this is just insane, in Wisconsin, and they were having a discussion about crime, and they have a problem there because, you see, crime is getting so bad in Wisconsin because it's bad in Milwaukee that it's spilling out into the suburban communities, and the people in the suburban communities that run a tight ship with their lawmakers are like, this is not cool, right? This can't happen. We want to have safe communities. And so they're going back to the Milwaukee lawmaker and saying, hey, you know, why can't you guys do more to control the crime issue? And here is what this woman had to say about it.
The suburbs, because they don't know a goddamn thing about how life is in the city.
Can we play that again? Right? Like, again, you know where she's going with this. This is what it's come to. This is what we have to be saying there on the state Senate floor in Wisconsin. Come on.
The suburbs, because they don't know a goddamn thing about how life is in the city.
All right. Well, this was, again, following a debate on crime. And this was a woman that is known as LaTanya Jackson. And people are pretty annoyed. They're saying, you know what? She should resign, because if this is really how she feels and she doesn't have any appreciation for anybody else, she can't have any empathy that people in the suburbs are like, hey, you know, can we get the crime under control? If she's saying that, then she's hardly who we want, right? Representing the people. I mean, you got to be able to come together. There was an editorial comment posted by the managing editor of something called the Wisconsin Law Review. This gentleman is named Steve Schuster, and he made a very good point. He said, State Senator LaTanya Johnson is not fit for office, and Wisconsin deserves someone who loves Wisconsin. All of Wisconsin, rural, urban, and suburban. Thank you very much. You're going to see a lot of effort being put in to divide us right now. They're going to use this Supreme Court decision to do that. They're going to use this gender dysphoria stuff to do that. I don't think it's going to work. I think ultimately Americans see through it just like they see through Bidenomics.
And guess what? Bidenomics is working.
You think so? You think so?
And guess what? Bidenomics is working.
You know, if you just say it over and over and over again, maybe eventually people will believe it. You see, Americans are smarter than that. They know inflation is roughly 5%. They know that real wages adjusted for inflation are down, considerably down, because most people ought to have been able to figure this one out. But again, they want to control everything, including the money supply, which actually they already do control. But they thought, okay, we'll just print money and print money and print money. And hey, they still want to print money, right? They want to give everybody the $20,000, the Pell Grant, to pay for college loans that, you know, maybe you never even graduated from college, but you decided to go there and you took out all this money and somehow it's everybody else's fault. They're going to pay that? I mean, while we're talking about it, consider the reparations argument that they're advancing and continue to advance. In California, they want to give everybody, some $400,000? There's a Duke University economics professor that's talking about the same thing. Look, if it were that easy, you know what? Hey, you know, maybe America would be in for a bargain. But it's not. It's not that easy because, you see, it's not money. It's never been money. It's got to be a bigger, holistic effort to make sure that, yes, God plays a bigger role in society, that families are there together, a mother, a father looking out for kids, that you do have a community of aunts and uncles there and cousins and everybody caring and having high expectations. The expectation that you're going to go to school and you're going to turn in your homework and you're going to get up the next day and you're going to do it again. That's what needs to happen in our society. And we sure don't have that. And the risk overall to the entire population is that America is going to keep slipping. Because these guys just want to keep handing out cash.
And guess what?
And think it
works. Bidenomics is working.
It's not working. We just got more debt. What is it? $32 trillion and counting. All the more reason for you to call my friends over at LegacyPMInvestments.com and have that conversation today about how you're diversifying your portfolio. One way to do it. And Charles Thorngren, who was just on the show the other day, the CEO of the company, one way he would suggest is through a diversification in precious metals, including gold. 1-866-589-0560. That's their phone number, and you can call them. And of course, I tell you all the time, you're welcome to use my name. You should use my name. Very good friends of mine, and it's a family-run business. And you can buy gold in a variety of ways, whether you want it in your IRA, a gold-backed IRA, whether you want it in your physical possession, whether you want gold coins or silver coins, a little more affordable for people, or if you want it, this is my favorite, in a vault. You can tell your friends, yeah, my gold is in my vault. You can get a vault in Texas or in Utah or in Switzerland. Hey, anyway, it's worth sometimes, you know, having these conversations because y'all want to be informed about all your investment opportunities out there. This is one of them. Great, great, great team. 1-866-589-0560. I will also put their website in the show notes. Because you should take a look. You can get a free investing guide right there, I think, on the site. This is something. I mean, Donald Trump is now leading Joe Biden in the polls, and that is going to freak out the establishment like you have never seen. It's one of the reasons why I said, and I know Tucker Carlson is getting a lot of credit for this, but I did a whole show on this. I'll have to post this one as well in the show notes about how Gavin Newsom might very well be the nominee. This was months ago, because I just don't see how Joe Biden can hold up. There was this little moment on MSNBC today, if you didn't catch it. He actually seemed to forget where he was, And so when the interviewer said, gee, thanks, you know, great to have you here. The show's still going, right? Like she's supposed to say to the viewer, hey, we're going to take a quick commercial break and be back with more. Well, Joe decides it's time to go. So watch him. If you're watching this on video, again, on Facebook or on YouTube, check out Joe Biden just up and leaving the set. This is priceless.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
I appreciate
it.
Thank you.
Don't go anywhere. It's a very exciting day around here. We'll have reaction.
Yeah, reaction. She's probably like, wait, don't go anywhere. He's going somewhere. Don't you go anywhere. Look, I'll just say this. If they wind up nominating Gavin Newsom, one, he's got a horrible record in California. That's going to come back to haunt him. The other problem, really, for the Democrats is, do they risk passing over the black woman, the vice president, who sometimes Joe thinks is the president? Kamala Harris, I'm talking about. Now, she would definitely be easily beatable for many, many reasons. This has nothing to do with skin color or her, the fact that she's a female, nothing to do with it, and everything to do with her lack of appeal, the lack of je ne sais quoi, shall we say. I mean, like, let's be honest, maybe you don't like Gavin Newsom, but I guarantee you, you like him better than Kamala Harris. The laugh alone, right, would do it for most people with Kamala Harris. So Kamala, she's out, except that, you know, the, a lot of people in the party might say, you just passed over the black woman. Now, why would you do that? So it could be a little bit of a headache, just saying, for them. They got themselves in the bind. I don't really feel bad. I think it's actually a wonderful thing for the country, only because when the pendulum swings, often it comes right back to center, because we are a center country. We are centrist. We're fair. We want equality. We want freedom. And we want to make sure every single person in this country has that opportunity to pursue whatever they want economically, right? Anyway, it's, and politically, and, you know, speech and the whole bit. That's why I'm here. That's why I love talking to you. I want to take a minute and just go out to some of the comments, because I see so many people tuning in right now, and it's great to have you. You know, how did, David's wondering how Kamala Harris passed the bar exam. Look, I would say this, bar exam's not that hard, by the way. Most people can pass it. I think it's pretty standard. I mean, unless you just choose not to study for it at all. But in terms of Kamala, the problem with Kamala, really, it is likability, but it's also that we're left constantly questioning her intelligence and her timing. I'm left questioning her intelligence because I have heard so much word salad out of the woman. She can't seem to focus enough. She can't answer the question succinctly. It's like, does she hear the question? Does she just get flustered? I don't know. But she often makes a fool of herself and says a bunch of nonsense that doesn't make any sense. So that's Kamala, and that's why I doubt sometimes how intelligent she really is. You know, there's other things. I don't believe she ever had her own children. I wonder how that will play. In just all honesty, you might say, well, it shouldn't matter, and maybe it shouldn't. But I think in terms of relatability, those things do matter. Like, you know, women want to be able to relate to another woman as a politician. So, you know, if she were a mother, it might help. Now, I know she's a stepmother and her husband has children, but it's, you know, a lot of people may look at that. There's other things, of course, and that includes just sort of, I think, a lack of authenticity. People don't really trust her. And I have only to point to the entire situation. I've played it for you before in the Democrat debate. Remember when she attacked Joe Biden straight on and went for the jugular and didn't do it in a nice way? She talked about how when she was a little girl, and she talked about the whole busing thing and how he actually was not in favor of that, and that was a big problem. She just went straight after him. And you know what was interesting? Her poll numbers sank right after that. It was like people really saw her. And I'm not saying it's not a valid point and one that she shouldn't have, but the way she did it seemed so deliberate and so much of an attack. And it didn't play well for her. You know, you have to be careful, especially when you're going after the front runner, for goodness sakes. Joe's the guy they want. And Kamala Harris, who has no numbers, is coming out of nowhere. She didn't even like show up in New Hampshire. New Hampshire has a good read on things, I would say, often. Very good read. DeSantis is struggling in New Hampshire. Trump is pulling ahead of DeSantis in New Hampshire. So I know a lot of big money wants DeSantis. But again, likability. The connection that one has with an audience is critical. I'm sure he's smart. He went to Harvard and Yale, right? Smart, smart guy. But what comes across on stage doesn't really sort of radiate through the screen, and you need that. Now, Biden doesn't have it. Hillary Clinton certainly didn't have it. Obama, I know you guys don't like him, but he had it, okay? I'm telling you that as like somebody from the TV world. That guy had it. Obama lit up the camera. He lit up a room. People liked him. I can remember being at the Washington, D.C. Correspondents' Dinner and hearing him speak and being like, wow. I mean, he followed a comedian, and he was so much better than the comedian. His timing, everything. Like, he had it. I mean, he had a lot of other stuff and baggage, and we're left with the results of it, of course. He was supposed to unite the country. Yeah, good luck. He was supposed to help the economy. Yeah, good luck. I mean, policy aside, I'm just talking about the je ne sais quoi, like what gets you in the room, right? He had it. Bill Clinton had it. I think Bill Clinton legitimately liked people. Bush had it. Again, someone who just loved people, and his father not so much, but I would say his father actually genuinely liked people as well. I remember being in Kennebunkport on vacation with my family, and someone I knew was related to Bush Sr. and said, hey, you know, you want to stop by and see him? I had grown up summers in Kennebunk, Maine, and I had never met the president. And this person said, hey, you know, why don't you, you know, I'll set it up. He loves to see people. And I'm like, seriously? I mean, he would be bothered with wanting to just hang out with. And sure enough, he and it told me something about who he was. He liked people. Ronald Reagan, same story there. Just genuinely liked people. So when I look at Ron DeSantis and I see how he's falling flat and falling in the polls, not doing so well in New Hampshire, it hits me that he doesn't have that magic combo. And so the Republican Party, if they don't want Trump, they got to find that. I mean, Vivek Ramaswamy, very talented guy, very, very personable and super smart. He was on the show just a few weeks ago. Remember Vivek? I mean, just amazing. He has a bright future. I don't know if he can do it this time, but very, very bright future. All of that stuff matters. Gavin Newsom, the question becomes, do you believe it? Or is he just a phony? You know, that's going to come up, and especially his record in California is just a total mess, and companies are leaving one after another. So he's got that challenge. I'm looking at your comments on Clinton, and I'm not going to read them out loud, but I'm laughing because, one of the Clintons did have an eye for the ladies. I don't know. You know, some of you might say, hey, I won't go there. David, Bar Harbor, Maine. Nice. I grew up in Kennebunk. Are you in Bar Harbor? Listen, Bar Harbor's beautiful. Maine is a beautiful state. But, you know, New Hampshire has it going on because New Hampshire is 0% income tax, 0% sales tax, and 0% dividend capital gains tax for people. So, hey, you know, that's like win-win-win. It's like Florida. Anyway, it's great to see you. I'm just, again, reading through some of your comments. Kevin, not a fan, clearly, of Kamala. I get it. I think that she might be, you know, she would be a dream candidate to be running against because sometimes a vote is not always for someone. Sometimes it's against someone. And I think a lot of people might come out to vote against her, unfortunately for her. David O'Brien, good to see you again. I see you're talking about some of the Hunter Biden text messages that we've been through. We did those, of course, yesterday, day before. I suspect that this is going to be an ongoing problem. And Joe Biden gets a little angry, just a little bit angry when you ask him about it. Remember what he said to the New York Post reporter who framed their question in such a way that he so did not appreciate? That was something that we played in yesterday's program, and he just was furious. You know, no, I didn't have anything to do with the deal, right, that his son was engaging in. But I think that there's where there's smoke, there's fire, and you're going to see some more on that front. Ted Cruz has already made it very clear that he would like to see an impeachment procedure begin in the House. Here he is actually on Fox speaking about this. Not, he came out on his show and said this, but this gives you a little bit more background. Here we go.
We have seen the Biden Department of Justice is, I think, the most politicized we've ever seen in this country. Merrick Garland, sadly, is the most political and partisan attorney general we've ever seen. And it's done enormous damage to the integrity of DOJ and the FBI. I'm an alumnus of DOJ. The Department of Justice has a long history of being apolitical, of applying the law fairly and one standard of law for everyone. What's clear with Merrick Garland is there's one standard of law if your name's Donald J. Trump and a totally different standard if your name is Biden or if your name is Hillary Clinton. Then the rules don't apply to you and you get sweetheart deals.
And that, folks, may be why you're starting to see Trump's numbers increase. Well, that, and of course this. We're here, we're queer, we're coming for your children. I'm telling you, you know, you do not mess with people's children. The state is not in charge of their children. Great to have you all here again. Thank you so much. Loving to see all your comments here. Really, really. Oh, interesting point. Derek recommending, think of how great it would be if you had Ted Cruz on the Supreme Court. Another really smart guy. I actually think he was Harvard Law. He might have been Harvard undergrad and Harvard Law. Look, I think this is a good day for America. That's the big takeaway here, because we want to be an equal, fair country, opportunity for all. And it means you can never get judged on the color of your skin, whether you're white or black. You know, they're trying to reverse discrimination from the past by what? Creating more discrimination for the present and the future? Not right, not fair, totally wrong. And I'm glad to see that they are getting called out on it. We're going to close out with this very special quote from Martin Luther King Jr. Thanks so much for being here, everyone.
I have a dream. My four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream today.